To you, we thank you for your presence. It's beautiful in this place. We love it when you come and touch our hearts, that the thick cloud comes to cover us, the blanket of your presence. And Father, this morning we celebrate that. We celebrate the fact that you want to commune with us, that we are not worthy, we are not even supposed to receive it, but you really want to connect with us. And Father, we thank you for the beauty of it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Yes, I'm excited to see what God is doing. It's beautiful. So yesterday, I, as a good citizen of another country, also went to go and vote for that country. In this mid-city, and we got there, and my two daughters went with me, Anna and Lana, and it always works like this: if you want them to go with, there must be a reward. It must be worth it, okay, to go with, and that's the beauty of family. Is that we do a lot of fun together. So we walked the streets there in Mid-City. It was good, I must say, especially the cinnamon rolls. That was amazing, Anna. But then we went to, because Lana the whole time said, listen, we must go to the Apple store because there's this big one in the Mid-City. Okay, so I said yes and tried to avoid it the whole time. But at the end, we got there eventually, and so when I got into that place, it looks like a world in itself. People fixed to screens and working on little screens, and then there's this entertainment part where you've got this massive screen. I don't know, have you been there in the Mid-City, that big one? Before, okay, you're not Apple fans, I can see it. So there's this massive screen, and then they've got the kids sitting all around the screen, and they're busy creating on the iPads these emojis and all kinds of, you know, creative things. And this is now Lana's thing. She couldn't wait for this workshop that they are busy doing. So and then they would walk around and, you know, just show the little pictures that the kids are drawing, and they would move from one kid to the other, and you would, in this big building, see whatever is happening here in front now. And I was just so surprised by the ease and the, you know, the amazing comfort in which the kids were sharing their little emojis. And I mean, there was thousands of people literally in that place. I'm not joking. It's shoulder to shoulder. People are standing around those tables, and being entertained. And then this massive screen that everyone sees, and the kids are at ease to share their little pictures. And so that the whole building can see. And I realized that there was something going on here. They get it right to engage in this generation. They get it right to actually draw them in and to make them, you know, have an experience. And I was so challenged by it. I realized that, you know, because me, I was thinking the whole time, oh, please do not come close to us. Don't come and ask us questions, because she's got a mic as well. And then she talks to the little kids and say, so why did you draw this little drawing? And, you know, we do all kinds of conversations. And I was just thinking, but Lana was at ease. She was drawing her, and she was actually showing it so that they would come closer. And I realized, okay, I'm from a different generation. You know, we avoid things like that. I rather go out of a place like that when a person is running around with a mic trying to engage you. But this generation is quite at ease with us. And I realize that, you know, for the generation that we are busy experiencing, they're not intimidated with things like this. And there's certain engagements that the world is busy getting right that we as Christians must engage into and understand. And so I'm having this conversation from the beginning of the year already, is how do we get to this authentic generation? But I'm talking about boundaries, and this is the second one that I'm sharing with you guys, because somewhere the world actually gets it right that the generation that is busy rising up is engaging, and they've got certain very definite boundaries that they set for themselves. And that even if you're an Apple fan, you keep to Apple, you keep to the boundaries that they set for you. There's certain things that you engage into. And if it's for Apple, I can tell you that there's other forms of entertainment and engagement that that this generation has to offer that we must get right and that we must understand. And so Townsend and Henry Cloud wrote a book a few years ago about boundaries, and I've taken it out of the shelf, dusted it off, and worked through it again. And I want to encourage you, if you can, go and read the book, because I think there's certain principles that God wants us to embrace in the season that we are in, to understand how do we make of our time, of our resources, of our engagement and our priorities, the kind of choices that will sustain the beliefs that we have. And this is a challenge, and I can tell you it's becoming more and more difficult. It's as the voices is busy shouting at us, how do you set the kind of boundaries that will allow you as a Christian, but not just a Christian, a believer in Christ Jesus, set the kind of boundaries that will keep the good in and the bad outside. And that is the engagement that I want us to have in the next season. So Townsend and Cloud speaks of four different kind of people when it comes to boundaries. And the first one is compliance. And this morning I want to ask you, please make some notes if you can, because I would want to trust that you will be able to actually follow it up with a conversation with yourself as well, so that you can start to work at where do we find ourselves in this engagement of boundaries. The first one is the compliance. Those who say yes to the bad. This is the compliant people melt to the demands and needs of other people. And if you, by any means this morning, recognize this in your own life, please make some notes and allow yourself to revisit them. And it's hard to distinguish these kinds of people because they... from the people around them, because they become like those around them, like chameleons. And the reason why is they want to please people. Okay, so when it comes to compliance, those who want to actually never disappoint those around them, they find it difficult to set boundaries because those boundaries will actually be to the detriment of other people. And in making a stance or a decision or standing for what is right for you, might impose on another person's view or their discomfort. Are you with me this morning? So the compliance are the people that easily come to a place of guilt as well. Okay, and this guilt causes fear that translates into an inability to confront others around them. If you block a child's ability to say no, it handicaps him for life. And the reason for that is if we don't teach people around us, especially when we disciple them, and especially when it comes to kids, how to say no to bad things, but also to say no to anything in life, it means that they will never learn to set boundaries that will save them for the rest of their lives. And sometimes we steal the ability of those that we train and raise up, the ability to make choices and to say no for certain things, because we override their will. And this is one thing that I've learned here in British society that is really beautiful to me. I don't think even the Brits will recognize it themselves, but from where I'm come from, a poor country, you would always make sure that you clean your plate, okay? You will eat everything that is on your plate because you are not going to waste any food. I don't know if some of you have been raised like that. So we discovered when we came to this country, we discovered that our children don't finish their food. So that's a big problem for me because there's people in South Africa or in, you know, the poor countries in the world that really struggles and find it difficult to have any food. So I would say to them, listen, finish your plate of food. Until we got to the discovery why at school they will teach them these principles. That when you eat, had enough, you stop. There's a boundary. There's a place where you need to, for yourself, decide that, listen, I've now overstepped satisfaction or, you know, being saturated. I'm now at a place that I'm actually indulging. And that place is a boundary that you set for yourself and that you grow up with. And even though it's still bad to waste food, so please do not do that. But what I'm saying is rather dish up enough. But there's a place where you and I must learn how to set certain boundaries so that we will live according to those values for the rest of our lives. Now, we sometimes override, you know, even our children's decisions and the way in which they engage in making those and guarding those boundaries. And then we don't know why they can't say no. Okay, are you with me this morning? I want you to follow me because we're going to get to some answers in these things this morning. Matthew 9, verse 13. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And for the compliance, it means that they find it very difficult because guilt always runs their lives. They find it difficult to say, listen, there's certain values that I live by, and I'm going to live by them alone. Then you get the second kind of person, the avoidance, saying no to the good, the inability to ask for help. Those people that you want to help, but you find it that they never receive help. They never want to receive anything from you because it's too difficult for them to receive. They would rather want to give it to you. They would rather want to actually be in a position of strength where they can say that they have blessed you. Okay, they rather say even no to the good because they are at a place of pain, and they build walls around them rather than gates. Okay, and we spoke about it in the previous round with boundaries. We said that we must create certain gates in which we open or close the door for certain things to come in and out. And people like this, the avoidance kind of person, is the person that find it's so difficult to allow anyone in their lives because it protects them to rather build a wall and to keep themselves safe from anyone around them, okay? And we know that Christ will never break walls. He will never break down our walls and our walls of choice. Revelations 3 verse 20 says that He knocks, that He wants to come in and He wants to dine with us. He wants to be a person that is wanted. God the Father has a desire to reveal Himself to us, but we must draw closer to Him. And then you get the third kind of person, the controllers, not responding to others' boundaries. And where you have the compliance, the people that finds it difficult to say yes to the bad because they are afraid that they're going to confront people, you get the controllers that seems to always want to challenge a boundary. If they see a boundary, it's actually not to stop. It's not to say, okay, I respect what your belief is and what you... It's actually an invitation to please come and destroy my boundary. It's an expectation to I'm going to engage with you and I'm going to convince you to do whatever I believe in. Are you with me? So the controllers find themselves, and now Peter was one of those. Peter was an aggressive controller who always wanted to engage with Jesus, but he wanted to say, Jesus, I want the answer, and I want to experience it right now. And so we would call him an aggressive controller. And we know the journey that Jesus went through with them. But you also get the manipulative controllers, the ones who would use even guilt messages to people around them to surround them with the kind of environment that will force them to do whatever they want. Okay, if you feel unsafe this morning, relax, you're in the right place. All of us have certain aspects of these in our lives, and God wants to confront it within us. Because manipulative controllers are less evident than aggressors, but still, they, you know, they get to get to their goal, and whatever they want comes to rule in and through other people's lives around them. Now, I just want to say this morning that, you know, it's so precious that that God is taking us through a journey because he wants us to be loving and kind and respectful to people around us. And we must learn to set our own boundaries, but in such a loving way that we respect those around us in their boundaries. Now, listen to this one. The fourth one is the non-responsives not hearing the needs of others. So you get some people that find it difficult to put their attention to the responsibilities of love. They would walk in a room and they would not even recognize that there's other people that they must greet. and not even have the sensitivity to understand that there's people around them that has also needs. And not just their needs should be met. Are you with me this morning? And I'm talking about worst cases. I know all of you are very balanced. You only get glimpses of some of these things. you are such godly people. I can't find any wrong in you. But for those people that you experience around you that has these attributes, I can say to you that the non-responsives find it difficult to hear the needs of others. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power. Okay, and I want to just make sure that you understand this. When it is within your power of your hand to do so. So yes, sometimes you can't do good to others around you as you would want to. I also want to bless you this morning with flight tickets to Australia, to the West Coast, oh no, the East Coast, no, not the West Coast, the East Coast, to go and have a nice holiday there. But I don't have the money to do so, okay? So whenever it's in my means, I will definitely help you to have an holiday, okay? Mel, especially you with the kids. Guys, we all know that there's limitations to the way in which we can bless people around us, okay? So, but the Word of God expects us to have a compassion and an understanding for the needs of people around us. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. So there is an expectation from God to that we would help people around us, that we will, within our means, make sure that they also prosper and that they would be blessed. So you would get two groups of people within the non-responsive. The one is the critical spirit toward others' needs. They hate being incomplete themselves, so they ignore the needs of others. Okay? So they would rather, that's the kind of person that would say to you, no, the poor are poor for a reason. because I'm working very hard and that's why I've got a good income. You know, the kind of person that finds it difficult to be compassionate to people around them because they just want to have it all together. As long as they have it all together, you know, other people doesn't count. And then you get the absorbed in their own desires. They take care of themselves so that they can help others without moving into a crisis themselves. Okay, so keep this in your mind because I want to talk about 10 laws, and I want to end off with that this morning. 10 laws about boundaries that is important to keep in mind. And for us, it's to actually find the balance. And if you recognize certain attributes of these different people or profiles within boundaries, I want you to this morning to challenge yourselves within these 10 boundaries or laws of boundaries so that you can start to become a more mature person. Now, for a little child, they are exploring boundaries. For my kids, I know that they are, even within our house, on different levels of exploring the boundaries that is in their lives. Okay? So that's in the house household of faith, always the big challenge. You would get people that are very mature, and they always want to see that everyone must be on their level. Are you with me? So we even had long discussions this week about it as well. Because it's easy to set the bar so high that nobody can reach it. And, you know, especially when, you know, you get teachers around you, you know, the people that wants to get everything right, and they can put out the law and the scriptures to you, and they can tell. There's a very high standard that you set for yourself, but you will also set that standard for the people around you. Which means that I can tell you this morning, when it gets to these laws or, you know, these principles, we must always keep in mind that people are on a journey in their progress, in their growth toward Christ and toward embracing these. Now, if you leave your boundaries, you know, unguarded, I can tell you the enemy will steal from you, but you will also reap some consequences that comes through the laws of boundaries in our lives. And I want to talk about those this morning. The first one is the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 8. And we always think that this only pertains to finances, but I want to just be clear that if you want to run the London Marathon, you will run the first 5 kilometers, and then you will start to realize how much did you sow. Okay, some of you recognize that this morning. You can't go and run the London Marathon if you only sowed, you know, a few 2.5-kilometer races during the year. You know, somewhere you had to run a few 30-kilometer or 35 or even 40-kilometer races before you can get to the London Marathon. Are you with me this morning? But there's some sowing that happens. You must practice. Now, you know, I'm practicing my tummy and my cycling skills again because I want to get to the Netherlands, you know, one of these days on a bicycle. So I must work at it. There's a lot of sowing into this journey of getting to reap the benefits and the blessing that comes. So even with fitness, there's sowing and reaping that takes place. Are you with me this morning? If you want to receive, you must also give, the Bible says. If you want to have a good relationship with your husband, if you want a good relationship with your wife, there's a lot of sowing that needs to happen before you can reap. Some of us always just want to reap. Are you with me this morning? I'm sometimes like that as well. I just want to reap in my marriage. But I must sow as well. I must put out dedicated time in order to get there. Are you with me this morning? Guys, there's a law that prevails that whatever you put in, you're going to receive the blessing of it. Are you with me this morning? So God is saying that, listen, if you respect this law, if you respect this boundary, then you will have some blessings that comes with it, or some not so blessed things happening to you. So God is not trying to punish us. He's just telling us the way things are with sowing and reaping. Cause and effect. Overspending leads to bankruptcy. irresponsible living leads to? Okay, are you still with me this morning? To sickness. Because if you sow into a bad lifestyle, you're going to reap the consequences of it. So I always had this thing, you know, God is in control of my life. I will die whenever he wants me to die. But I can tell you, I can have that reasoning, but I can have a very unhealthy lifestyle and a lot of struggle to get to the end line in my life. Are you with me this morning? That's a reality. It's not even something that we can negotiate with this morning. The fact is, sowing and reaping is an effect. So this law can be interrupted by somebody protecting the person overstepping the boundary in their lives. Listen to this. The person reaping the effect does not have boundaries and hinders the person overstepping the law to experience the pain thereof and learn. Now, sometimes we steal the privilege from other people to reap the consequences of the decisions that they've made in this life. Okay? So I'm not saying that poor people must be poor because there's a reason why they're poor. I'm also not saying that. But what I can tell you is we must teach certain people that there's consequences to certain decisions that they make, and we must sometimes leave them to go through the hardship that brings us. So this morning I'm so blessed. Thanks, Mel, for bringing that word as well. Because sometimes it is very hard. And it's hard for that person. And God convicted me so many times this past year in saying, listen, leave the person. Because I am on a journey with this person. And you are stealing the privilege that they have to actually come. And I'm not talking about an easy yoke. I think you guys understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, because it's always easy when you walk with God because you are doing the will of God. And when you are in the perfect will of God, he makes the burden, even though it's a burden and it's a load. And the Bible says, each one shall carry his own load. Which means that there is definitely always a responsibility and a very difficult responsibility that you and I must take ownership of. So the second one is then the law of responsibility. That you must take ownership of the growth in your life. I cannot do it for you. I cannot grow for you. I cannot make a decision to say, listen, I love you so much. I'm going to surround you and always protect you. For a parent, this is the most difficult part of being a parent. Is the one where you see your children go through hardship and you always want to protect them not to go through that hardship. But I can tell you, if you jump in and take over the responsibility from them, they never learn to actually stand on their own feet and take responsibility for life. And then they become immature adults. So I've seen it. Me and Milani, we go through this a lot with our kids as well. We see how they grow up, and then sometimes you must withdraw and just leave them, even though you know that they're going to actually make some mistakes along the route. You know, I've asked one of my kids yesterday just to make some food for themselves, and they, and the whole plate with all of the pasta fell on the floor. And I said to her, no, you're going to actually have to clean up. You know, we are in a hurry, we must go now, but you will have to clean up that thing, because if I don't do that, if I take away that responsibility from her, she's never going to learn to do it right. Are you with me? So the law of responsibility means that we must come to a place where we love people enough that we say, I cannot control you. We are to love one another, but not be one another. Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But we want to control people around us. And that's why, you know, in church, we many times feel, I've got this obligation to, you know, just to make sure that this person is going to become the person that Christ wants them. Christ is on a journey in that person's life. Take off your hands. Because God wants to teach him or her to come to the responsibility of a mature relationship with him where they can grow faster without your hands on them. So you're responsible for yourself. Just to get back to verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. God is on a journey with people. And I, you know, even being a little bit longer now in the ministry, I can tell you, the more I walk the road with people, the more I realize God saying to me, keep off your hands. This is my child. You can support, you can be there, you can direct, you can help that the person don't make the same mistakes. But if they make choices, allow them to learn through those boundaries. Because within your set of boundaries and your value system that you create around you, you must explore. Woo! I'm not saying leave your children to do whatever sinful things there is in this life. There is a place of protection that we must guide them in and make sure that they stay within that. And that's why, you know, discipline is a lot more when children are smaller. Because we need to teach them to create those boundaries and to even see the consequences when they overstep those boundaries. But the bigger they become, the more difficult it becomes to govern it on their behalf. But it leads us to a place where we must lead them rather to take responsibility themselves. I cannot grow for you. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. Do not rescue others from the destruction of their sin. It reinforces the pattern, the vicious pattern of destruction in their lives. Proverbs 19, verse 19. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. You will have to do it again. So my message to you this morning is that there is scars that we get in creating boundaries around us and learning from making mistakes. But those scars become the authority that we boast upon later on in our lives. But it's difficult. It's not that easy. So the third one is the law of power. Am I powerless over my behavior then? Romans 7, verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. We know that Paul is talking a lot of very confusing things here in Romans 7. For what I will to do, what I do not practice, but that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of the sin which is in my members. 1 John 1 verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So do we have control over our behavior? Do we have control or power then over what is happening in our lives? Now, I want to just quickly rather talk about what do we have power over, and then we can decide, you know, what power we can exercise. So, first of all, power, you have the power to agree about the truth and about your problems by confession. Are you with me this morning? So, one thing that you do have power over is to be honest with yourself and to agree about what you are doing wrong. Are you with me this morning? I'm taking you through a journey here. The second one is the power to submit your inability to God. You cannot heal, but you can call the doctor. Which means that for you and I in our relationship with God, we cannot find healing in our lives, but we do know the healer, the doctor, the one that can bring healing. And we do have the power to admit that he can bring healing. Are you with me this morning? Number three is the power to search and ask God and others to reveal more and more about what is in our boundaries. So we do have the ability to exercise faith around a conversation with God concerning the boundaries and value systems that he's placing in our lives. Is it not so? Chrissy, are you still with me? There's exploring that you and I need to do within the boundaries that God has given us to say, listen, my child, go and work through the values that you are embracing in your life and be honest about where you are at with them. You know what? We don't spend time in reflection and thinking through these things, and we don't create the kind of healthy habits and boundaries around us to protect ourselves. And then what happens is the experience that is happening at Apple, where the world is actually drawing us in so much that we are busy embracing their value system because we become part of the world and their value system rather than defining what it means to us. Woo! Are you with me? This generation is at the brink of making this, not having to make even decisions, but being motivated by the worldly systems and the world. And we must learn to actually set certain boundaries and value systems in place so that we can be healthy Christians, people of faith. Are you with me this morning? It might come over as too much information this morning, but I want this conversation with you guys. Power to turn from the evil, number four, that is within you. So you can turn away from what is wrong by repentance. The other power that you have is the power to humble yourself and to ask God and others to help you with your development, mental injuries, and leftover childhood needs. And to be humble enough to admit that you, again, need God. And then the power to seek out those that you injured and make amends toward it. You have the power to do so. Are you with me this morning? So yes, you do have power. But you must know where your power lies. Okay? You must know that God's sovereign will and God's working in your life is of such a importance to you that you never want to leave Him. You never want to forsake the things that He is putting in place in your life. Are you with me? It must be your sole desire to say, God, my boundaries must protect the things that is precious to you. Because if it is, then I will have a whole life. I will have a life of abundance. You cannot change others, but you can influence them by changing yourself. Okay, I can see at least the people that are in marriage can agree to this morning. You cannot change your life partner, even though you want to. I've tried that. It doesn't work. But you can change yourself. And one thing that we must know this morning is that when it comes to boundaries, we must know that we do have the power to change ourselves. We do have the power to be humble enough to admit that we are. So before you throw your finger in the face of your partner again, or in the face of even your flatmate, if you don't have a... Okay, Ruth, I'm not talking about you. You're a saint. You're a saint. Or the guy at work, please make sure to understand that you cannot change him. You don't have the authority to do so. That God is actually expecting you to change so that their behavior will change. Okay, number four, and I'm going to go a little bit quicker now. The law of respect. We fear that others will not respect our boundaries, and in doing so, we think we know best what others need to have. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 2. Judge not that you will not be judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. They will judge you according to your own judgment. If we condemn others' boundaries, we expect them to condemn ours. Listen to this. It brings fear within us, and now I can tell you, if you want respect from your neighbor, make sure to respect their boundaries. One thing that I know about the gospel that is so precious is when you start to get fearful that people will now go over your boundaries and your beliefs and your value system. You know, we become reactive and we become defend all the facets of the faith, and then we become these activists. You know, we do awesome stuff for God, and we're going to save the world for Christ, and we're going to do. And we're missing the point, because God is actually just asking us, so what do you stand for? Because you don't need to be threatened by people around you if you are very confident in what you are standing for. And so, respecting the boundaries, respecting their boundaries protects your own. So stop complaining about their disrespect. Respect them to be respected. And in marriage, it works the same. If you want respect, make sure to respect your partner. And I want to say to you this morning, at work, for that boss that is not so loving and that is not respecting your boundaries and that's taking... Have you ever gone to sit down and ask yourself the question, you know, what is actually the things that they value, that boss of mine is precious to him or her? Because I'm so obsessed with all my needs and my motivations that I actually never thought of what they... What is the motivation behind them? And that brings us to the next one, number five, the law of motivation. So the law of motivation states that false motives keeps us from setting boundaries. And the first of those are the fear of loss of love or abandonment. And now I just want to say, the people in the marketing world is excellent, and I'm telling you, excellent. It's almost supernaturally excellent in exploiting the motives in people's lives. So I want you to listen to this and recognize where the world is busy pulling us in to use our motivation to bring us to a place of satisfaction. Okay? Because that motivation within you, you will be much more... inspired if you are motivated to do something. Are you with me this morning? Is it not so that if you know, it's like this morning giving that prayer book to Chrissy, you know, for everyone here, it would be a burden to do another course, but for Chrissy now to go into a prayer course is just, it's inspired, it's her motivation is now inspired because she loves praying. Are you with me this morning? So when your motivation is at the right place, you can actually go through a lot of sacrifice. And I mean, those poor nuns. But I mean, their motivation must at least be at the right place. Otherwise, that will be a terrible burden to carry. But motivation has a lot to do with you and I and the sacrifices that we will go through in order to be blessed in life. Are you with me? So... the first one is the one of fear of loss of love or abandonment. And that fear brings you to a place where you resent saying yes in fear of losing someone's love. You're so afraid that that person is going to resent, reject you, that you would rather bend your rules. And normally, guys, let's think about it. It's your time. It's your finances, and it's your pleasures that you will give up for, you know, for these motivations. Now, the world gets it right that, you know what, I was just sitting there yesterday, and so at the end of this little practical course that they are doing at Apple, it was a creative picture drawing course, probably. I can't remember. Anna, you would maybe help me, right? You know the terms. But so at the end of this thing, they actually then announced that if you want to do more of these courses, we've got one for creating a video. So if you want to, you know, have a nice video about your holiday or whatever, you can come for this course, and you know, it's for free here at Apple. So again, stirring whatever motivation there is in your life, stirring it to satisfaction. Now, I can tell you, for us, we must either get these things right and make sure that our motivation is at the right place, or the world will exploit it. Number two is a fear of others' anger. I don't know if this is in all families like this, but even when I counsel people, there's always, you know, this one family member that has anger management issues. And it's strange how that person rules the family, because they decide if we're going to get together and where we're going to get together, or because everyone in the family is just too afraid to say no to that person, because that person's going to throw their cots out of their toys out of the cot. And to prevent that, we rather make sure that we all step in line so that that person can be satisfied. So, the fear of another's anger. The fear of loneliness, prevent being alone. And I can tell you, these are one of the most evident issues in the city that we are living in. Is there so many lonely people that are motivated to just get rid of that loneliness. And because of that, they would break any boundaries or set any boundaries in order to not be alone. Okay, number four, fear of losing the good me inside. Think love is to always say yes. So you break your boundaries because you are afraid to lose that good me inside. Number five, guilt. Try to earn the sense of goodness. Now, you know, I've seen the power of it just the other week here in London. You look at society that we are living in, and you've got people, the eco-rebels, that's running the city at this stage. And I'm asking myself, so what brings you to a state where you actually want to and be motivated to run with this cause? Oh, it's a great cause. I also believe, you know, we must protect our planet. We must make sure that we are good stewards of that which Christ or God has, entrusted unto us. But the motivation of that becomes such an obsession that you actually, you know, would break any boundaries or create boundaries that is godly or ungodly. And then number six, payback. Burden to pay for everything given to them. Not able to receive. Okay, the law of motivation. You get some people that would always just come back and back and say, listen, please, you've given me this and I'm going to give you that. You give them, you know, the neighbor next door a tin of nice food, and next time they give you two tins just to make sure that there's not an uneven score. Number seven, approval. Feel like children in need of parental approval. Your time, your money, your power. A place where you always are driven in these boundaries of yours when people say thank you. If they don't, you are offended. Okay? Because the motivation in your life is for approval, okay? And that's a terrible vicious circle that you run into. Number eight is over-identification with the others lost. And we're still under law of motivation. Please don't get confused now. So under the law of motivation, over-identification with others lost. That sometimes we even create third-party offenses in our lives for other people's hurts, because we are so affronted by what's happening in their lives that we take that course upon ourselves and we start to fight that course on their behalf. Okay, number six, the law of evaluation. We need to evaluate the pain our confrontation causes to other people. See how hurt is helpful to others. Evaluate the pain in a positive light. Now, I want to just say it this morning, and it's beautiful that we started the conversation even before the sermon, because I can tell you, a dentist brings hurt, but it has a good effect. Okay, some of you might not agree. But after the dentist is finished with you, you are better off. Okay? But sugar is nice, and it is not painful, but its cause is unhealthy and painful in the long run. And sometimes we so sugarcoat things around us. Some of us are so afraid to confront the pain and the issues that we have with people around us that we don't allow ourselves to be honest with the people around us. And the law of evaluation means that you and I at least be honest with ourselves in when does hurt cause other people to grow? And when those things actually to the detriment of them? Then the law of proactivity. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Reaction is necessary to find your boundaries. Still, you can learn to live proactive. Reactive victims is known for their against stances. Proactive people does not demand rights. They live them. Now, this is important. Please bear with me. I know that we're running out of time here. But I don't want to rush through this and miss what God wants to say to us. And I want to say to you guys, the law of proactivity means that you and I can either become victims for the rest of our lives, or we can become proactive. Let's talk about budget. Let's talk about your finances. You can either be the victim of your finances for the rest of your life, or you can be proactive and set up a budget and make sure that you actually stick to it and that you find the blessing of it working for you, your money working for you. Are you with me this morning? So the law of proactive living means that for lust, it's the same. You can either be the victim of lust for the rest of your life, and every time that you fall into this sin, try to, again, hit yourself over the head and feel as bad as you can so that you can next time get it right and next time you don't. Or you can become proactive and realize that, listen, I must have a healthy lifestyle where I prevent myself to fall into the trap of lust in my life. Are you with me this morning? So guys, when it gets to boundaries, it's important that we understand that for any issues that there is in a Christian's life, you and I have the responsibility to actually take ownership in saying, listen, I cannot just avoid this thing in my life. I cannot just run from it out of my life. I must proactively make a stance and decide what is the boundaries that I'm going to set in place so that I don't fall into this trap every time again and again. So for us to be disciplined ones in our maturity and raise up to the standard and start to take ownership of this responsibility that God has given us, we must become proactive. We must say that, listen, yes, I've fallen now because you are going to fall from time to time, but God, please help me to be proactive, to get things in place so that it doesn't happen again in my life. And then, or I can maybe just give you the scripture, Matthew 5, 38 to 39. I'm not going to read it now. But number 8 is the law of envy. James 4, verse 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. So envy is a desire for the things that I do not possess. And when it comes to the law of envy, for us in our lives, we sometimes are so dissatisfied with what we have that we start to envy that which other people have. I want to say this morning to you, let's talk about boundaries again. Make sure that you as a Christian start to develop what Christ has done in your life and stop to criticize everyone around you. I find too much in the church today, and I'm saying in the church because, you know, it's strange how when you go into the charismatic church that, and we are part of it, so I can say that, that we always find other people to blame for things that they are getting wrong doctrinally and, you know, church-wise, and they are doing things like that, but this is wrong. And we feel better about ourselves because we can reflect, you know, that which we actually, and it's, are not. And what I found is that people that are criticizing so much often does not have it together themselves. So when it gets to boundaries, I want to say to you this morning, guys, there's a responsibility, there's an expectation that God has for each one of us to explore who we are and to be satisfied with it. And to celebrate that and to recognize that there's certain things that we can't do. That there's certain things that we are not able to do and that we actually celebrate those around us that can do those things. Galatians 6 verse 4, but let each one examine his own work and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Guys, when it gets to boundaries this morning, I want to say to you, be satisfied about who you are and stop fighting with what other people has in their lives. Stop criticizing people around you because that is a bad reflection in the church. And I'm not, I know, again, I'm talking to a amazing church, amazing people that never criticize or never go home and talk about other people in the church. You love them too much to do that. I know that, okay? I'm talking about the church in general. But what I can tell you is that when it comes to boundaries, we must decide beforehand in saying to ourselves, listen, let me not criticize people around me. You know, I've had discussions the last while as well about, you know, just what the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in these times in churches. And, you know, it's a conversation that we can have ourselves busy with, you know, for the next 20 years about is it blessed, is it not blessed? You know, we see manifestations that makes us nervous, you know, there's... All that I can say to you today is be careful to judge and always be critical about people around you and start to celebrate what God has done in your life. How many people did you get saved? how much of the Holy Spirit did you manifest in your life? How much of the Holy Spirit do you experience in your life? And I'm not saying what's wrong is wrong, but what I'm saying with boundaries today is let's embrace the beauty of what God is doing in our lives and start to celebrate those to such a place that we can be satisfied in Him. And then the law of activity, and it's the second last one, then I'm ending off. Passivity causes evil, which is an active force to put pressure on us to do so. God wants us to push on the door of life and seek. He will not go beyond our boundaries. We must take action and apply the rules of life. We have to do our part. The lazy servant receives nothing. So the law of activity means that, you know, if you are sowing into being active, you're going to reap in being even more productive. And I've seen this with people that can get the job done. You know, successful people in this life are the people that you always can give the job to because they will, even with all of their load, still do more. Because they found a place of sowing into active life, and that multiplies, and that becomes a reaping in their lives, and they can even have the capacity to do more. And I want to say to you, don't expect to be blessed if you don't step out in faith and trust God. Don't expect God to You know, in the beginning of the year, God said to me, listen, for you as a church, cast your nets upon the water. Okay? Ach, your bread upon the water. And just expect the fish to come and eat. And so we've done all the outreach possibilities that we could, from movie nights to games nights to, you know, going onto the streets and reaching out to people one by one. We've done Alpha Course. We've done, and you know what? I can tell you, it's not Alpha Course that's such a success, and it is a success. I'm not degrading it at all. But what I'm saying is, in itself, it, for us as a church, it was not the answer. The answer lied in we stepped out in faith and said to God, God, we will do anything to be obedient to you. Show us the way. Give us the most effective way to do so. Now I want to say to you as a person in your life, just know when it gets to the law of activity, it means that God wants you to explore. He wants you to move out and to do whatever He's calling you to do. But if you don't move, you're not going to get anywhere. Hebrews 10, 38, 39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Matthew 7, verse 7 to 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. Amen. There's a place that God says, listen, if you want a job, go and seek a job. And it's amazing. I honor you, Malisha. I know that you are doing it. you know, because of what God is doing in your life. God has said to you, this is not time, and you've stepped out. So I want to say to you guys, waiting for the rest of your life to see God's purposes in your life fulfilled is not going to help you. I'm not saying run ahead of yourself, but what I'm saying is seek. Get active. Do something about it. Because the law of activity says to you and I, listen, woo! There's a world to be explored. There's the will of God to be explored. There's a blueprint that God has given you, and you must step out in faith and trust Him to fulfill it in and through your life. But if you don't have an expectation, it's not going to happen. Law of exposure, the last one. And I'm ending off with this. Stand strong. Stand that we can do it boldly today. Please. So, quickly, can we just make sure that we are awake in this place? The law of exposure. Boundaries are about relationship and finally about love. Your boundaries must be made visible to others and communicated appropriately. We have fears and create secret boundaries, withdrawing passively and quietly. Instead, boundaries are to set, enhance relationship and respect if communicated right. Now, I've got this amazing saying, if you suffer in silence, please suffer alone. And I want to justify it, okay? It sounds cruel, but, you know, it's strange how people will, from time to time, come to me and say, listen, I feel that the church did not support me. I feel that the church was not there for me. And then you listen to the person, you think, but we never knew that you are going through difficult circumstances. We never knew that this was precious to you. We never knew that you felt so strongly about this. We never knew that you got offended in the meanwhile. If you only communicated your boundary, if you only communicated your need, we could have done something about it. Family does not work that way. If my children are hungry in the house, they don't keep silent and die of hunger, okay? I promise you that. That's not going to happen in this lifetime. no, luckily, Anna, you don't do that. you know, if Zoe, my little one, if she's now hungry, you know, you hear it 20 times, okay? She will tell you, Dad, when are we going to eat? And then we walk for 10 meters, and she said, Dad, when are we going to eat? Okay? So what I want to tell you this morning is, guys, we're talking about boundaries this morning, but if nobody knows about your boundaries, Stop being offended around any and every corner if people don't respect your boundaries. So now we've become such secret agents in our Christian faith that even at work, you know, we assume that people know that some things are precious to us. And I'm not saying, you know, bang, you know, or bash them over their heads every day with the Bible, but you can be clear about what is precious to you. You don't need to be ashamed about that. So I've found that, you know, Christians are sometimes so offended and feel so neglected, but they never communicate what is precious to them. And I want to say to you, it's time to talk. You know, it's one thing doing it in the church, but I can tell you, it's another thing to actually stand for your values and to protect them in even the public sphere. But in doing so, you're actually enhancing your relationship with people around you. Because if you tell me that there's a need and I don't do anything about it, then there's a problem. If I deliberately neglect and even, leave that boundary that you are setting, rebelling against it, then I can tell you there's something wrong with me. And all that I'm saying to you this morning is, guys, we are living in a society where we became too sensitive to what the world has to offer. In the meanwhile, the world has great boundaries. The world is imposing all that they want and can upon us because we are not clear about what is valuable to us. And I'm not saying this morning become an activist and run in the streets of London to make known to the world what you believe in. You know, change starts with you, the individual. I was yesterday, walking in the South African House, actually there in Trafalgar Square, when we had the voting there. And one of the quotes there was, actually, I think it was Mandela, that said, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not using the exact words now. But somewhere in the line of, you don't change community you don't change the community by changing the community, but you change the community by changing yourself. And it was from, because it starts with you. If you don't embrace good values as an individual, society is not going to change. Don't expect the neighborhood to change because you are shouting it off the rooftops. You and I must come to the realization that, you know what, this world will change if we become passionate about the things that is precious to us. We're talking about culture this year. We're talking about that which Christ wants us to embrace in this church so that this church will have a Christ culture. There's values that is precious to us. Family is one of them. You know, we feel passionate about it in this house. And I want to say to you, because of that, there's an testimony even going from this house. And, you know, I've heard so many people from the outside saying, you know, when you go to that church, you feel there's family going on. But it's because we are embracing certain values within this boundary system that we are living in that is precious to us, and the world knows about it. And I want to say to you this morning, I love Christ for what he's doing in my life, what he's doing in your life. I respect that it's on a different trajectory. I respect that you are on a different phase even. And because I respect that, you can also grow. And I can also grow. You give me the room to do so. But in doing so, you know, Christ can start to lead us into a place where we can become more mature in him. Let's bow our heads this morning. Christ, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And we want to ask you to come and lead us to a place of becoming people that value the things that is precious to you. That we will stop being compliant, those who are so afraid that we will impose ourselves on others, and so afraid that we would confront others, that we actually drop all of our boundaries and we sacrifice all the time ourselves, but in the inside we are bitter, resentful. We ask that you will, Father God, lead us away from avoidance, where we can break down the walls and start to trust people again. And rather to be clear about the areas that you want us to grow in. Running away is not going to help us. God, we recognize this morning that you are on a journey with us, each one of us individually, and you are asking us to break down those walls and to engage and to start to be clear about our expectations even. Oh God, come and set us free from ourselves and the walls that we've built. Oh God, we don't want to control people any further. We have this passionate desire to see people become like us. In the meanwhile, you want them to become like you. And we take our aggressive, even manipulative hands off people now. And we say that it's your journey with your children, and we respect that. Amen. And this morning, we choose to see people thrive around us. We choose to see your journey with them and start to celebrate that rather than the principles that we so easily throw on people's heads and try to criticize them for it. Oh God, we want to love people for who they are and celebrate them for who they are. Oh God, I ask that you will take away all judgment from our hearts and all control that we so easily exercise to people around us. Come and take it away. Father, we cannot control people. And Father God, we come to you and we ask you that you will bring us to a place of contentment in you, a place even to die to ourselves and not be those non-responsive people, Father God, that cannot even see your love in other people's lives and their needs. I repent this morning, oh God. Sometimes I'm so focused that I miss, Father God, what you're doing in the individual's life. And oh God, I pray that you will come and convict us. Bring into us your heart, your heart's desire for the people around us. Amen. We've become so blunt in our I generation. Me, myself, and my amazing device. That, Father God, we've missed your desire to reach out to the people around us, and Father God, to walk the journey with them, to take their hand and to celebrate what you've done in their lives. Father, I pray for those ugly boundaries that we've set in our lives to protect actually ourselves and our own selfish desires. Oh God, but I pray that you will help us to set good, healthy boundaries in our lives that will protect the good things in our lives, and Father, to multiply them even. I pray that the gates in our lives will become stronger, that our discernment between what we need and what we don't need, Father God, become better. And Father, that we will not even allow people to override our boundaries anymore. But, oh God, that we will know that it's our selfish ambition that leads us to a place where we always focus on self. And this morning, our desire is to, Jesus, again be reminded about what you've done on the cross. When you selflessly only respected what the Father did in your life. You even said, let your will be done, even though I want this cup to run, to pass me. And oh God, our desire this morning is to let your will reign in our lives now and forever. And that you will be the main concern in our lives. In the name of Jesus.